Very good.
Brother Steve Dorsey, would you pray for us, please? We've been reading the Bible every day, praying every day, getting awful close to January. If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you one of these schedules. Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Put your thinking caps on. So, haven't asked you this for a while. I'm talking about the office. Over in this section, what office does Matthew present the Lord Jesus Christ as? That's right, King. How about in this section? What office does Mark present the Lord Jesus Christ as? The servant is correct. How about in this section? What office does Luke present Jesus as? Dr. Luke, you're right, the man. A man. Over in this section, what office, what person does the Lord Jesus Christ represent in John? That's right, God. That's right. Over and over and over again, John is telling us that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The most important fact that anyone will ever know is that Jesus is God. We're called Christians because we worship Christ, is why. We've been in, last week we started St. John chapter 2, moved over into the second chapter, and let's read a little bit of review here, get our mind back to where it belongs, off the world, off of self. And the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and we talk about that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Well, if you start in the New Testament, it's been 2,000 years, and we're just about ready to go to a marriage. It's time to go to the wedding. We're about to start into the third day, girls. Go ahead and start getting ready for the wedding. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I think she said it unto Rick. It's good advice for anybody, anytime, anywhere. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they, the servants, filled them up to the brim. Brimful obedience. And we had several comments last week about obedience. And that's what we're still on, the subject we're still on. He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and guess what? They obeyed. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Dear Lord, please help us again, I ask, in Christ's name, amen. Now, I'm reading a book. It was written around 1850. And when the fellow goes to talk about the flesh or the old man, he'll use the word nature. For instance, disobedience. I was saying last week there, it wasn't my specialty, my forte to obey. Really, I don't like to obey. And he'll say, nature does not like to obey. Now, when he says that, he's not talking about the white-tailed deer and the gray squirrels and the brown trout. He's talking about Rick. Nature does not like to obey. That's Rick. That's the old man. That's self. That's the flesh. And so we're still talking about obedience. Today it may get a little harder because we've got examples, not just comments. Matthew 4:19-20. And he said unto them, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway, immediately, left their nets and followed him. How you doing? I'm not doing that great myself. How you doing? 9:9, Matthew 9:9. See, they did it immediately. Remember, delayed obedience is disobedience.
That is right.
9:9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He saith unto him, follow me. You'll never believe what he did. And he arose and followed him. That's what Matthew did. 21:6. Not a lot like Brother Rick. 21:6. Still in Matthew, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Disciples are students and followers. Any one of us can be a disciple. That's not an apostle.
Right.
This is a student. This is a follower. 26:19. 26:19, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Boy, it'd be wonderful if Brother Rick would do as he appointed. Luke 5:4-5. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, N-E-T-S, for a drought. And Simon answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, there's Brother Rick, about halfway obeying. He said, nets, and I might let down one. And maybe even half-hearted at that. Not just halfway obeying. What about doing it half-heartedly sometimes? Chapter 6. I told you it's going to get harder. 46 and 49. Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Yeah,
thank you. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. How about the rock, the Lord Jesus? And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. On the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ will stand firm. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, on the worldly things, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Was great. John 11. We're talking about obedience. John 11:28-29. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Yes, amen. And then 21:6, John 21:6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side. Wouldn't it be funny if we sang that song this morning on the right side? And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of Calvary, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. We're talking about obedience. Back now to John 2. Looks to me like it pays to obey, and I'd catch on sooner or later, you'd think. Verse 10 now, we're in John 2:10, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now, for me to evaluate whether it's good wine or not, I'm going to have to partake. I need to partake of what the Lord's got.
Right.
So I'll know what it's like. I don't know if I don't partake. Let me show you one thing for sure about this new wine. Again, last week we said the Lord Jesus Christ was not a bartender. There's no contradictions in the Bible.
Right.
Let me show you about this new wine. Isaiah 65:8. And there's a whole lot that goes along with this, but I'm going to give you the short version. Isaiah 65:8. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. New wine is grape juice.
Right.
Just like straight out of the cluster. Just like right off the vine. That's new wine.
Right.
It's grape juice. It's no problem at all. That's what the Lord did. I'll show you a little bit of that old wine if you want. You might already know about it. Proverbs 20. I know all I want to know about it. Proverbs 20. Verse 1, wine's a mocker. Go ahead and partake of it. It's a mocker.
Right.
You'll be mocked. Strong drink is raging.
Right.
Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Right.
Any questions on that part? On 20, verse 1. Let's try 23. Talking about old wine now. 23:29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without calls like black eyes, slamming the thumb in the car door, all that stuff. Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the old wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine. Any questions of that, about that? When it is red, fermented, when it giveth his, the devil's color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last, and they don't show you the last, the advertisements don't show you 4 or 5 in the hospital. They don't show you that. They show you a handsome young girl, handsome young man. They don't show you the last of it. Verse 32, at the last, it biteth like a serpent, it'll kill you deader than a doornail, and stingeth like an adder.
Right.
Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. We're talking about seasick. Or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? Out of my stoop, I will seek it yet again.
Right.
One more, Habakkuk 2:15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look upon their nakedness. That's the old wine. Back to John 2 now. We're on verse 11, the purpose of the miracle. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested, showed forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. That's the purpose of the miracles. See, we're just old clay pots, and every once in a while we get filled up with the water and it turns into joy. If He don't do that, as long as we're sad, long face, we're not going to tell anybody about the Lord. But when He does it, when He fills us up with joy, then we'll want to tell everybody. We're like many times, light's not seen. We're like Eliezer, the nameless servant of Abraham, who always was in the background. But we need to tell others. Need to tell others about Him. Now, the cleansing of the temple, starting in verse 12. After this, He went down to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum had more miracles done in it than anywhere else. But still, because of the hometown territory, not a lot of belief there. And He went down to Capernaum. He came down from heaven. It wasn't that big of a trip to go down to Capernaum. When He left heaven and came to earth, it was a long ways down. He came a long ways down seeking for me His hand reached down. And this is, and after this, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. They're going to go to church. They're going to go up and worship. That's why you came this morning, is to worship. They're going up to church and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said to them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Well, it's his church. He can do whatever he wants with it. And that's what he did. His purpose of going down there was to clean house.
Right.
And he did it. It wasn't wrong. They were changing foreign money like euros for shekels. It wasn't wrong to do that, but they were charging interest, making a business out of it. And that was the whole point. The purpose was to clean house. In 14, we see the sacrifices and the substitutes and the shekels. Then in 15, we saw the scourge and the spilling and the success. He straightened it out. Matthew 21:13, we see it again. And said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, that ye have made it a den of thieves. That's what it is, and then that's what it became. That's what it turned into. We see the same thing in verse 16. I haven't read 15 yet. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. 16, this is what it should be and what it had become, same as in Matthew. And he said to them, the soul doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house. That's what it should be. That's what it is. A house of merchandise. That's what it had become. Then 17, and the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then verse 18 now. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? They're asking for his authority, where he got it. Can you show us a sign? Well, here's your sign. Here it is. In chapter 2, he turns water into wine. It's unbelievers that want a sign, not believers. In chapter 4, he's going to heal a nobleman's son. In chapter 5, he's going to heal the lame man at the pool. Let's look at that in chapter 5:39. And they're still asking. 5:39. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's all we need is Jesus. That's all we need. He is everything. Jesus is unto me my everything. Chapter 6, he's going to feed the 5,000. Chapter 6, he's going to walk on the water. Chapter 6, he's going to calm the sea. In verse 30, they're still asking, what said he therefore unto him? What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? That's not faith if you see first. That's not believing if you see first. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? In chapter 11, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Let's look at that. 11:47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees in council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles. They knew there were signs. They didn't want them. They didn't want to see. They were glad to be blind. They were glad to be. The Bible's the only way out of the dark. In chapter 21, he's going to do the drought of fishes, fill up the net. And that's just in the book of John. That's just signs and miracles so that we could believe. That's just the ones in the book of John. That's not all of them. Let's go back to John 2. We're on verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. That's a prophecy. That's not a command. That wasn't a command. That's what's going to happen. But he does turn his body over to him a little bit later. Let's look at that in John 10. The Good Shepherd chapter. John 10, 17, 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Talking about the resurrection. No sign greater than the resurrection. Matthew 12. Matthew 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, who arose from the dead after 3 days being buried. That's the sign. That's the sign. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. John 2. His body would be handed over to them to destroy, but he's going to raise it again. Only God could do that. Only God. John 2. We're in verse 20 now. No greater sign than the resurrection. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple. They're talking about the church building. This temple and building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had spoken. They believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. They believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Is there a difference or is it the same thing? I think it's the same thing. That's what I think. And no greater sign than the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know, do you know it this morning? For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. See, the Lord Jesus showed us the way, proved it could be done, proved it was possible, said don't worry about nothing. See, if the Bible's true, we don't have nothing to worry about. If the Bible's true. It is. Amen. He's coming back. 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1:13-14. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Remember this, know that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. He showed us how to do it. Plus, he's going to do it. Acts 2:32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. You want a sign this morning? Right there it is. There's a sign. Back to John 2 now. Well, verse 23, but when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. That was the purpose back in verse 11. His glory manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. That was the whole purpose. James 2:19. Now some believe in the head. Some followed because they got fed. Some followed because they saw the miracles. But we need to believe. Yes. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. And receive Him. Receive Him. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I don't need to. For 21 years I believed in my head about Jesus. November 16th, 1974, I received Him. I figured out, I saw that He was God, the one true and the living God, and I received Him. And that's all the righteousness I have. I'm still nature. I still got that nature side. I do. He gave me a spirit side too. Romans 10. Jesus in our hearts, all we've got. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Famous verses right here. That if thou, you can put your name in the blank. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord and God, the Creator, and shalt believe in thine heart. See, it's heart belief that saves. The demons believe in their head about Him. We need to believe in our heart and receive in our heart. It'll change your life. It'll change everything. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. There's that sign again. Thou shalt be saved. He goes on and tells us why in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a package deal there. The mouth and the heart. John 1:12. We dwelt on it a while back. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's who belief in the heart is for. But here's a problem. John 2. Here's that nature we was talking about. John 2. Thought I was doing pretty good, really, till I got saved. Then I figured out how wicked I really, at least part way. Two things I'll never figure out. I'll never really figure out how bad I am. I know I'm this bad, but I don't think I'm this bad. But the fact is, I am that bad. Yes, I am. Broke one law, you broke them all. And we'll also never figure out how good He is. Yeah, hallelujah, amen. Let's check it out here. We're in John 2, 24 and 25. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. See, that's not a test. Anybody want to stand up and testify how good you are? Yeah, no, me neither. Me neither. Me neither. Let's check it out in Jeremiah 17:9. We'll get the truth of it. We'll get the truth about Brother Rick. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart. Whose heart, Brother Rick? Well, my heart. That's the good news. The bad news is your heart. Your heart too. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not regular old wicked, desperately wicked. who can know it? It's that nature that author's talking about. It's nature. It's what I do naturally. See, naturally, I lean towards sin. Over here on the left, we're going to have, on the left is towards sin. The Lord Jesus is over here on the right. Naturally, without any help, I lean towards sin. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, taking sin. See, they should have held me down when I got baptized while I was right. Should have just held me down right then. Because man's wicked. Wicked. What man, Brother Rick? Well, me and you. That's the man. Let's check it out again in, oh, Romans 3 is rough. Romans. Talk about natural man. A lot of times, I shouldn't do this. I need to quit. Someone asked me yesterday, how you doing? I said, not very good. They said, what's wrong? Well, I was born that way. It's my problem. And then I'll go ahead and tell them, I'll say, but I got born again. And things are not better now. It's different now. It's better now. But then I'm talking about the natural man, nature. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No. In no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. That's the good news. It's more in verse 10, it gets worse. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. The only way out of the dark is the Bible. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way, the glory land way, the true and shining way. They are together become unprofitable. And it's all together this morning, all 100 of us probably upstairs, and all of us added together are unprofitable. I hate to tell you. And the best we could do every once in a while would do our duty. You know, a blind hog find an acorn once in a while. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat's an open sepulchre, a grave. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's how we know what's wrong. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as many as received Him is what it said. Receive Him, you get born again, and it's different then. It's different now. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we're not going to go there, but to the seven churches, He told each one, I know thy works. Oh boy, what if I don't have any? Or what if all of them's bad? That's about what it adds up to, unprofitable. Unprofitable. It's worse. Hebrews 3:12, it gets worse. Don't worry. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brother. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. The way we depart is first we depart from this, or maybe His house. Everybody that comes to church doesn't read the Bible. Let's look at it in John 6. This might be our last one. I know this is too much. Just going to have to quit here, I think. John 6:63 is my favorite verse. One of them. Let's look at it. It's the Spirit that profiteth the flesh that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing. How about this? The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want filled up with the Spirit? Get filled up with the Bible. Filled up with the Word. Verse 64 is the bad part. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Now the way I read that in the King James Dictionary, the ones that believe not are the ones that betray Him. And the ones that betray Him are the ones that believe not. And He said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Amen. Hallelujah. Who would you go to? There ain't nobody else. There ain't nobody like Him. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure. Anybody here that believes and is sure? Yeah. Well, not only that, we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, but one of you is the devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. Betraying, he believed not, just like in 64. One more thing and we'll quit. Now, good Lord willing, next week we'll start chapter 3. While all this is fresh on your mind, how bad man is, let's go back to John 2:24 and read it again. And Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. Chapter 3, and there was a man. Now, even though He's a ruler of the Pharisees, don't forget He's just a man. See, there's white-collar sin, and there's blue-collar sin. You don't want to get man too high. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.